You are listening to a podcast from Church on the Rock. Today, our message is brought to us by our planting pastor, John Lau. Let's listen in as he opens Luke chapter 10 to begin our new series, Now and Later.
Good morning. We are entering into... Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Dave. We're entering into a new series a new theme for the year of 2017 called Look, Love, Learn, and Live. I'm excited to see from a distance what God does with this theme for the year, and excited to see Rashad and the team here at Church on the Rock, the staff and leadership have been planning and been talking about this series and getting ready for it and gearing up for this next year to lead you in that God has begun to lead them. I love seeing how this works and watching men and women follow God with all of their hearts and all of their soul, and then in turn leading others to follow Jesus to the same place that Jesus is leading them. It is a beautiful picture of discipleship. It has been the goal of my heart and the goal that God has given to me from day one here at Church on the Rock, is to see disciples of Jesus made, but then also to see those disciples become disciple makers and pass along the things that they have learned to other faithful men and women. The Bible just uses the masculine gender there, but men and women who are able to along to others also in 2 Timothy 2:2. As I sat and prepared this sermon, actually, Vince DeLolio, there you are in the back. I see you kind of over the lights there. Vince and I sat and we chatted down in Fountain Square. Vince works down there, and we've sat and talked several times in Fountain Square about the future of a potential church plant there in that area. And I was sitting in a place called Wildwood Market, and incredible sandwiches, little Wildwood Market plug, great sandwiches, great coffee, cool little shop there in Fountain Square, little market, and sat and prepared this sermon, and so many emotions were just running through my heart, mind, and I wrote in here that there may be parts of this sermon where I get on a roll and maybe get up on my toes a little bit. I guess that's what I do. It's what people tell me when I'm preaching, is when I get excited about something, I get up on my toes. Really, maybe other parts where I just look to my notes and I read because of the joy and the gladness of what God has done over these last 5.5 years. We've shared our lives with each other, some of us for the entirety of that 5.5 years, and others of us maybe for a shorter period of time, but we've literally shared our lives together. This has not been a relationship that I'm looking to leave and get out of. I have had the privilege of pastoring at several churches in the past as youth pastor. There were 3 churches that I served in the position as youth before we came here and started Church on the Rock in 2011. And at each one of those places, there was this unrest of, I feel like we could be doing ministry different. We could be doing ministry better. I can't wait to be able to go and to be able to lead with no strings attached. And God gave us the opportunity to go and to lead with no strings attached. And it's very, very different to stand here today and to begin to pass the baton and pass the torch and not have those feelings of, I can't wait to do ministry different, because you guys have given us the opportunity of leading without strings attached and leading where there has been joy and life and abundance of people and servants. And so as I sit and I write this sermon and I'm just recalling the things that we've gone through and we've shared our lives together 5.5 years, we've seen the good times, we've seen the bad times, I've cried with you, I've cried for you, my life has changed. You guys have helped shape my life, and I pray that also helped to shape your life and the things that God has done through this church and through this ministry. I've learned how to better love people. I've learned how to better communicate. I've learned how to better lead. Listen more and talk less. I've learned that as a pastor, you cannot control outcomes, but you can lead hearts toward Jesus and his outcome will be best anyway. That's been a huge life lesson for me. Pastoral ministry is that you can lead hearts toward Jesus, but Jesus' outcome will always be better than my outcome anyway. I've learned to trust him with that outcome, and I pray that my life and leadership has also shaped yours. Proverbs 17 tells us that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And we've gone through a lot. We've gone through some really heartbreaking times. I'll never forget the moments. When I got the phone call real early in the morning and sitting on a front porch as one of your grandchildren had passed away. And sitting there with you as we wait to come and just grieving with you, not knowing what to do. None of us knew what to do. Just waiting for that moment to come, having the opportunity to preach the funeral, forget the battles that some of your parents faced with cancer, and as we sat and as together and as we prayed together for their healing. And sometimes God answered the prayer for times it was time for your parents to go. And I'll never forget those moments. I'll never forget the moments in our living room as sometimes marriages battled and there were in our living room. And I'll never forget those moments, but those moments, as difficult as they were to walk through, they were worth every second and every moment because God has healed and God has restored those marriages. And now those marriages are still together. And so they were worth it. I'll never forget the 2 years of tear down and set up in Brownsburg West Middle School. Many of you were a part of that, and the trailer is still sitting behind this building here, and our minivan bears the scars of tear down and set up. Before we bought the trailer, there's rips in the top of the fabric in our van. There's a bust on the back of loading stuff in and unloading stuff and piling it up in my garage and then loading it back in the next day and being up at 6:30 a.m. to go get set up for church just so that we could worship together in the middle school. Forget those moments of set up and tear down and the process of all of that and everything that went into it with purchasing equipment and learning the new equipment. I'll never forget the celebrations that we had with marriages, downtown Indy to Parks down in Avon to in my living room. Again, we had a wedding literally in my living room. I married a couple right there in my living room in front of my couch and TV. It's been good. We've celebrated marriages together. We've celebrated birthdays together in funeral homes. Bill, I think that was your 50th. In a funeral home that we celebrated and celebrated birthdays in backyards. At parks, in your living rooms, all over the place, that we've had joy in this process and in this celebration. We'll never forget the first year at City Reach in 2013, and we had over 450 students from around the nation come to our town, and we housed them on campus of Butler University. And we did ministry over this city, and we loved this city well. And I'll never forget those moments. The next year, there were 300 college students from around the nation that came back and returned. City broke multiple records when they came and served alongside of us. And when they did ministry with us, we did car washes for free to the community. We did construction projects all over town, from fixing roofs. We were introduced to you back in 2013, fixing roofs, to mowing lawns and everything in between, big projects and small projects. We hosted 5Ks and block parties. Clinton, Bonnie, I think, at one of those block parties that we did after the City Reach came through in 2013. We met you at a block party that followed up with that. And Clinton's now serving as our worship leader and worship director. And so you never know what kind of avenue God's going to use to To reach people in the community. Kids camps, which we still do regularly, from creative camps to Lego camps to backyard Bible clubs, 4 different locations. All of these things that City Reach came and helped us do, door-to-door surveys and more. I'll never forget the early Sundays. The early Sundays, some of you were there when we were meeting in Eaton Hall. Eaton Hall, if you're not familiar with town, it's connected to Town Hall, and it's like a conference center on the north end of Eaton Hall. And some of those early Sundays when we were there, I mean, we had no idea what we were doing. I don't think we even have any of the equipment that we had back then. We were borrowing everything we had when we met in Eaton Hall. It was a sound system that had like 6 channels built into it, and we borrowed it from a Baptist church on the south side of Indianapolis, and we came in and we set that up, and everything was like run off of that 6-channel sound system. And like, I'm speaking here and that 6-channel sound system is behind me, so if anything happened I could like turn around, and I'm giving the welcome. And then you guys know that most of you know I play guitar and I sing, and so there were Sundays where I was running sound, giving the welcome, leading worship, preaching, going through announcement, the offering, and it was like everything in the beginning days. I mean, there were Sundays, a lot of times in the beginning days, we'd have 17 people in church. You think we're low in attendance today? Thursday, some of those first Sundays, we were really, really not a lot of people involved, and so much depended on what I was doing. So I'll never forget those Sundays in the beginning when it was like I gave everything. I did the announcements and all of that, but I'll also never forget the first Sunday where I sat in the chair where you are today. I sat in the chair and I didn't do anything. I sat back and I watched as someone else gave the welcome, someone else preached, someone else did announcements at the end and did offering and all of that, and somebody else was doing all of it. And that really is when the goal and the passion was of this is not my church. Church on the Rock is not John Lau's church. Church on the Rock is not Rashad Cunningham's church. This church belongs to us. We follow him. He leads us, and we follow him to the best of our ability. And God wants each of us to pass on the things that we know, and he wants each of us to understand we're replaceable. As difficult and as challenging as that is for me to get in my mind, I am replaceable. If I were to die in a plane crash on my way, as we go on our travels, guess what? John Lau is replaceable. We think very highly of ourselves often, and we get this mentality that, oh, well, without me, Church on the Rock is never going to exist. With my organization, my business is never going to exist, and it can't go on. But most of the time, when something happens and something goes south and you get fired, they hire somebody else to come in your place. We are as difficult as it is for us to understand and for us to accept, in all humility, we are replaceable. And I'll never forget that Sunday where I sat and worshiped as a part of Church on the Rock without anywhere. God had sent the leadership we needed where I was no longer dependent on. And that's really when that goal was realized, the passion for realizing that I am replaceable, the revelation that God wants each of us to pass on what we know, that he wants each replaceable, because this church isn't about me and this church isn't about you. This church belongs to Jesus. This church is his church. He wants us to be replaceable and have a next man up mentality. If something were to happen to me, if God calls me to and God calls us to move along, if something were to happen to me, who takes my place? That's a question each of us should ask. I'll never forget the weekend this year, last year, 2016. We celebrated together and we confirmed God's calling for Rashad's life and ordained him as pastor of Church on the Rock. The moments of questioning and prayer as was passed and as pastors from around the state gathered together and sat in this room and questioned Rashad and made sure that his theology lined up and he was ready for the task, and they questioned him. But Sunday, as we gathered together and we commissioned him, and the baton was passed for him officially take the lead where he really had already been serving for all of 2016 and transitioning in. But more important than those are really cool things, and those are great things as we look back and we reminisce over the last 5.5 years of what God has done. But more important than all of those things, the things that I think we should reminisce on the most are the times when you all gave your life to Christ and your life to him and said, I want to follow him. I want to make him king. I want to make him Lord. I want to serve him for the rest of my days. And many of you, I had the opportunity to be there with you in those moments. Some of you in your kitchen, on camping trips, at kids' camps, in a parking lot around town, at West Middle School, in the middle of a public middle school cafeteria or hallway or wherever we may have been. As I recall the time of life to Christ and you committed to follow him. And those moments are incredible moments for us to remember together. And then the moments that you chose to follow and make a public profession of faith and follow him in baptism. We started off, most of our baptisms were either in White Lick Creek or at Bill and Lucy's house in the pool. So a lot of the pictures that you may see on the screen behind us here, we did a lot of those baptisms over at Bill and Lucy's house in their pool. Other baptisms we did in backyards. Several of you, we've baptized even in backyards. We did one baptism at the middle school where some of you may remember this. It's an is Betty here this morning? I know she lives quite a ways away, and it's Elizabeth Cervisi's mom, and so she's here about every other week when she's here seeing family. Betty trusted in Christ, and she was one I had the opportunity to sit with in those moments as a Jesus, and so exciting to be there in that moment, and also had the opportunity to help baptize Betty. But Betty, we baptized at West Middle School, and there was a mop sink in the back of the, we connected the hose to and we filled the baptistry up with. And we didn't know it, but the cold water spigot was not working. So we get out there and Betty gets into the Baptist, the horse tree, and she steps in and it's metal. And as fast as she steps in, she jumps out and it like scalded the bottom of her feet. And we're like, oh man, this is awful. So I'll never forget. I've got this mental picture in my mind. Some of you remember Bill Hurley attending Westbridge in Danville. Now it's closer to home for him. But I've got this mental picture in my mind of Bill's face that just like lit up when Betty jumps out of the baptistry and he runs back and he grabs these buckets of ice. And Bill is like dumping buckets into the baptistry to cool it down and try and get it cool enough. There it is. Yes, you found it. You found it. Yes. And he's dumping these buckets of ice in to cool it down. And it was just, it's an incredible story. And some of those things that you don't always see those things in church because like we have a special bond. We have such a unique and special bond here at Church on the Rock of things that God has done and memories, some of them fun, some of them and others of them serious and sometimes sad and brokenhearted. But we did baptisms on campus of Butler University. And here at Butler University, we baptized Tim and Clinton and Annie at Butler University. And the floor did not exactly feel stable when we were done. I hope we didn't damage it. But what I remember most about this was trying to get the water to drain. We hooked up, and it wouldn't drain on its own out the door. So we had several guys with, like, trash cans coming in, and they would, like, fill the trash cans up with water and, like, pick them up and, like, haul them out the door and dump them out, and then they'd come back in each can. And then I think there were, like, 12 guys that got all the way around the baptistry, and, like, when the water got low enough, we thought we could pick it up. We all picked it up and, like, took it out the door. And that thing was leaking all over the place on the hardwood floor at Butler University. Probably were ready to kill us and never let us come back, but they let us come back again anyway. So we're Thankful for the partnerships that God's given us in town. Baptisms on my back patio in Arbuckle Acres Park at White Lick Creek. I mean, we've had baptisms all over this town, and on a camping trip in McCormick's Creek at McCormick's Creek State Park in the waterfalls. We did 3 baptisms there that day. And just incredible, incredible stories of nation. And we've shared so much life together, and God has been so good to us. Always, from the very first day Megan and I moved our family here, February of 2011, that God had given us in our hearts, we always believed that God would begin a movement of churches being planted around the Indianapolis area. We always believed that, and we knew that in our hearts. We just didn't know what it would look like. We didn't know that he was calling our family to go. In most of the church plants in our tribe and our network of churches, most of those church plants, what that looks like is a church planter or a missionary goes into the town. He starts a church, and the church grows. And as the church grows and becomes healthy, they become a mission-minded church, and they send out other church planters as a church. And so that was kind of our mentality, is that we would, and that God would use the church that was planted in a healthy way to be mission-minded and to identify church planters and to send them out to other parts around the city. This was always the heart, was to plant multiple churches. I didn't know that he was calling our family to go. And so this morning, as I preach this final sermon as a part of the Church on the Rock staff in 2016, even though I'm sure there's going to be other in the future, it's not like we're leaving and we're never coming back and we'll never see you again. I'm sure there will be others that I'll have the privilege of speaking on more occasions later on down the road. But as a part of the Church on the Rock staff, this is my final address, sermon. And my family and I are leaving on Tuesday to finalize the funding and to raise the funding to begin a second church in Indianapolis. We're excited. God has been incredible ways. We can't publish all of this yet, so you guys get the inside scoop. There are some things that we can't share because of timing's sake, but God has begun to organize a team, and we are excited about that. We have another family who has committed to serve alongside us and walk with us as we plant another church, and so that is exciting news that we've been praying for about 2 years to happen. And so praise God that he has answered that. We thought we were going to have to be on the road as we travel 6 months to raise our funding. I was challenged by a guy named James Taylor. Some of you know him. He's been to Brownsburg before and spoken at Church on the Rock when we were still at Eaton Hall. He was a missionary to Africa, recently has come off Africa and is serving as pastor of a church in Monticello, Arkansas. James and I sat and talked. I shared with him the vision of planting churches moving forward. James and I spoke, and James challenged me. He said, John, like, I believe like you can raise this funding in a different way, and you don't have to do travel. So we had in our hearts and in our minds that we were going to be traveling for at least 6 months, raising the funding to get a second church started. We are 80% funded today. Before we even leave. Praise God that he's done that. And that literally is just with phone calls, FaceTime conferences, and Skype conferences, and God is developing a network of churches behind us, ready to plant churches in the Indianapolis area. And James Taylor and Pauline, they're one of those. He didn't just tell me that and then leave me hanging. He was like, hey, well, I'll tell you this, and we'll be the first church to step up to it. So James has been awesome in this process. So we leave Tuesday to begin this process, to finalize that last 20 funding, as well as communicate well with the network churches. There's a big meeting for us on January 16th. So pray with us. That's MLK Day, so it should be a quick reminder, mental note for us, January 16th. And we are excited about the future and what God is doing. But this morning, I don't want to just reminisce about the past and just talk about the things that we've gone through the last 5.5 years, as beautiful and humbling as those things are. I want to talk to you about the future. I want to talk to you about what God is going to do through Church on the Rock and my excitement and my passion. These things that I want to share with you the sermon are not necessarily personal experiences. They're not my opinion or just my belief. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the most important thing you will ever hear. And your eternity and your effect on eternity depends on this. It depends on this message. Look to Luke chapter 10 with me. Luke chapter 10. We're going to start reading in verse 1. We'll read about 9 verses here for a little bit, and then we'll pick up later on at the middle of this chapter here. Luke chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now, and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among the wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's house, first say, 'Peace be on this house.' If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to excel, because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you now.' But if a town refuses to go out into its streets and say, 'We wipe even the dust of your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate,' know this, the kingdom of God has come near." The kingdom of God has come near. This story that we find here in Luke chapter 10, this parable, or not parable, this story that we see, it's a real story of Jesus sending out his 72 disciples into the nearby towns and into villages to share a message with them. I think the first thing we need to talk about today when we talk about the future of Church on the Rock and we talk about this vision that Rashad and the staff have developed over the last several months and leading their hearts, and now they want to lead you to follow Jesus as they follow Jesus. This vision of look, love, learn, live. It starts right here in Luke chapter 10 when it says that these disciples were sent out villages, be sent with God's purpose and God's message into your neighborhood. This is the most important thing that we can understand as a church body, as believers of Jesus Christ, is that as believers, if we have a purpose, we need to prepare the way for Jesus to be heard. It's a lifestyle commitment. It's not something that you do one time and it's done. I've got my ticket into heaven and it's done and it's over with. It's a lifestyle. Go into your circles of influence. Go into your neighborhood with the message of Jesus Christ, with the gospel message. There's no better way to live than to live with God's purpose. But that doesn't mean that it's easy. It doesn't mean something we can just check off of our list and it's done. It is a continual process of sharing God's message and being sent out into our neighborhoods to be who God has called us to be, to prepare the way for us to be heard. We need to know that we have been given a high calling as believers. It's time for us to stop looking to take the easy road and to step up to the challenge that God has given us. Stop expecting God's plan for your life to be easy. 2017, it's a new year, and we all make the new year resolutions, and we all say we're going to change something in our life, but what is the common thing that we find with new year's resolutions? You get 1 month in, and you're done. You get 1 week in, sometimes 1 day in. It's like, oh, that was too hard, and I'm done. I'm out. I'm checked out. Dave and I thought about losing a little weight and dieting, and he's over here laughing at me because he knows. It's like, yeah, we're on a diet. And 2 days later, it's like, no, we're not. Sugar cream pie, Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever. And it is. When things get difficult, a lot of times we throw our hands up and we give up. And for whatever reason, we have this like mentality ingrained in us that we think when I give my life to Jesus, that Jesus is just going to do it all for me. When I repent, because that really is the message. It doesn't use that language right here in Luke chapter 10. But if you look at parallel gospels and back to Matthew, the message is not just the kingdom of heaven has come near, but there's a word before it. It says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven. And we think that repentance looks like just saying, I'm sorry, God. forgive me. I want your forgiveness. But what we don't realize is that repentance is not just saying, God, I'm sorry, but repentance means I turn that and I don't go back to it. Repentance is not easy. Repentance is a difficult thing for us to do and to accomplish. And the message that the disciples were sent out into the neighborhood was repent. The kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus is here among us. Stop expecting it to be easy. I mean, look at what these disciples had to do in chapter 10, verses 1 through 9, 1 through 10, wherever we ended up reading there. Look at what they had to do. They had cities and the villages, and they went in with nothing. They lived out of other people's homes. They depended on other people to provide meals for them, food for them. They went in blind. They had no idea what was going on. They would be accepted by the village or rejected by the village. It was very possible that they would be rejected by the village. And guess what? Today, I don't have a place to lay my head. I don't have a meal to eat. I have to walk out of the village and find a new place to go. They didn't know. This was not an easy thing for them to commit to go and to be sent by Jesus. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent means to readjust to the new rule of God. Readjust your life to the new rule of God. Listen, your works, the things that you do, they don't save you. The things do not save me. I have no ability to save myself. But if Jesus is really your king, wouldn't you follow your king? And actually, if you don't follow the king, is he really your king? Think about it in secular terms. If I have a king, a physical king of America, and I say, I am not going to follow you, I'm going to go and do my own thing, and I am going to help other countries. What is that called? It's called a traitor. You are no longer following the king. And so is he really your king? Your works reveal you. They don't save you. And this was the message that the disciples were sent with. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Turn from your ways and follow Jesus. Follow Jesus with all of your heart. Look back in Luke chapter 10 at verse 17. Scripture says here, and this I watch as we read, listen closely as we read, because this is huge. It says in verse 17, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to Jesus, Lord, even the demons obey us, use your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. Verse, don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Did you catch that? Don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice, your names are registered in heaven. Look at what God has done here. The things that we just reminisced on, the lives given to Jesus, the baptisms as we celebrated the lives that were given to Jesus, the things that we've been able to do in the car washes and the construction projects, the things we've done in partnership with Parks and Recreation and Town Hall, and the list could go on and on and on, the Hendricks County Senior Services and Sheltering Wings out in Danville, the partners and the ways we've been able to help them and invest in our community and the good things that God has done. He has taken a totally unqualified group of people, and he has allowed us the opportunity to speak the gospel into our community. A group of people that, let's face it, if it's just up to us, we don't know what we're doing. Let's face it. Let's just be real with each other here. If it's up to me to build this church doesn't exist. If it's up to you to build this church, we are replaceable. But with God's power and in God's strength, and when we allow God to work through us, God can do great things. We have served hard here, and we must continue to love Brownsburg well. Most of these that we mentioned earlier were a result of being present in the community and loving them well. Many of the relationships in this room began as a result of Church on the Rock loving our community well. Never forget to serve because it's who we are. These disciples were out serving in their community. They were out doing the things that God had led them and called them to do, and they were obeying him and obeying his ways. Never forget to serve this community. Never forget to obey what God leads you to do. I believe that Church on the Rock is in the right time at the right place. We are here, and God has given us a unique group of people to speak the gospel into this community at the right time. 15 years ago, Brownsburg, Indiana was 99.99999999999% white. That was the racial makeup of this community. It was a very segregated community, and it was not a friendly community for people of other ethnicities to live in. Today, I looked up more demographic studies, and 90% is still the number that's out there on a lot of the websites. 90% white as a whole in the community. But listen to this. You look at the elementary schools, and I was able to find specific numbers for the elementary schools in Brownsburg, all six of them, specific numbers, and the average is 73% to 27%. The generation that is raised in Brownsburg is a different demographic than what currently exists. The generation that is being raised here needs to know how to communicate and be productive citizens in a cultural setting. And the gospel is the answer of how to do this. And our church, Church on the Rock, is a picture of the gospel working effectively. God has given us the right time and the right place to speak the truth and the love of the gospel into our neighborhood, and we need to take advantage of the opportunity and the platform that he has given to us. I believe he does an incredible job of speaking the truth of the gospel to all nations and to all people into this community. And I believe with all of my heart, looking to the future, that we are the church here in this neighborhood that is primed to reach the generations of Brownsburg. But remember, as we read in chapter 10, verse 20, don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered. And the disciples came back to Jesus, and they were pumped. They were excited. They came back to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, you wouldn't believe what happened back in the towns. We went into the towns, and we went into the villages. Evil spirits obeyed us. And when we told them, they came out of the people. Great things happened. And Jesus said, I'm excited for you. That's awesome. He gave them a round of applause, maybe. Jesus said, great, that is incredible. But don't rejoice because evil you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. God is going to do great things here, but remember that we do not worship God and we do not praise God because of our past or future accomplishments for him. All I could do, everything I could do, the entirety of my being, every ounce of energy that I've got left for the rest of my life, everything I could do for Jesus is nothing he has done for me. Everything I could do is nothing compared to what he has done for me. He gave his life for me. And the true disciple of Jesus does not rejoice in what he has done for the master. He rejoices in what the master has done for him. Don't miss this. Don't miss this verse. We are to worship God because he created us to have a relationship with him. You may be here this morning, you may be asking, well, what does that look like? What does it mean to have a relationship with him? I want to read you something from a friend of mine. His name is Rob Leonard, and he posted this on Facebook the other day and had some similar conversations along these lines, and I just want to read you this post. He has three quotes. It says, alcohol may be man's worst enemy, but the Bible says, love your enemy. That's from Frank Sinatra. And he says, the loneliest people in the world are among the wealthiest and most famous who found no boundaries within which to live. This is by Ravi Zacharias. And D.L. Moody says, the Bible will keep you from sin or save you from the Bible. Howard Hughes, and there was a movie that we watched recently. We watched half of it. It was late at night called Aviator. And Howard Hughes was who this story is about, an aviator. He was reported on April 5th, 1976 at 1:27 p.m. on board an aircraft owned by Robert Graff and piloted by Jeff Abrams. His reclusive activities and possible drug use made him practically unrecognizable. His hair, his beard, nails, and toenails were long. His tall 6-foot-4-inch frame now weighed barely 90 pounds, and the FBI had to use fingerprints to conclusively identify the body. A subsequent autopsy recorded kidney failure as the cause of death. Hughes was in extremely poor physical condition at the time of his death. He suffered from malnutrition. While his kidneys were damaged and his other internal organs, including his brain, were deemed perfectly healthy. At the time of his death, Howard was one of the wealthiest men in the world, and yet he died for lack of sustenance. He literally starved to death. 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3 said, rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, slander. Like newborn infants, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. The home of Howard Hughes was completely stocked with groceries, but Hughes was afraid of germophobic, so he refused to eat. How many Bibles do you have in your home? 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him, called us by His own glory and goodness. All I need to live a godly life is sitting on my bookshelf, but I have to pick it up, open it, and eat it up, or I can start in arm's reach of the one thing capable of saving me. Where's your Bible? I thought that was extremely appropriate because we're talking about this gift of salvation. How do I learn about it? If I want life to Jesus, if I want to make Jesus my king, and then I want to share this story, this gospel with other people, the biggest question I think for all of us is, where do we start? We're within an arm's reach of where we start, but we're starving to don't pick it up. You start with opening your Bible. I recommend starting in the book of John. Open it up and do what it says. It really is that simple. Open it up and do what it says. It's going to tell you that we're reading today, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Turn from your ways and look to God. It's going to tell you to live life in community with others, churches, just like what you have in front of you today, Church on the Rock. It will result of repentance and living in community is being a disciple of Jesus. It's following after him. We can complicate it. We can reword it. We can throw theological language all around it. Every true church will teach you some form of what Jesus said in Matthew 22. Love God, love people. Is it really that easy? Is it really that simple? Yeah. Love God and love people. All of this word, all of Scripture is all about that. It's teaching us how to love God and to love people. This is my heart's desire for you. This is my prayer for you, that you never stop praying God because you love him. Not because you have to, because it's your duty, or because there's a list of rules. My heart's desire for you is that you never stop pursuing God because you love him, because he is, and that you never stop serving people because you love them. They are your assignment from the God who you love and who you want to obey. Let's pray and let's stand together. God, we love you with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. God, we love you. This is your church. We declare that today. We claim this is your church. We are your people, and we desire to do your will. God, send us out into the communities. Send us out to share your message that people need to repent because the kingdom of heaven is near. Your son, Jesus, you may not be walking here on earth anymore. You may not be walking physically among us, but God, the kingdom of heaven is near. If you live inside of us, God, we have neighbors. We are literally next door. Your presence in our next door to people that need to hear your gospel message, and we're not taking it there. God, help us to love them enough to share your message. Help us to love them enough to go, even when it's difficult, even when we don't know what the results will be. Maybe they'll reject us. Maybe they'll accept us. But God, help us to go anyway, knowing that we could face difficult times. Because God, we love you and we love them. We want to obey your and we want to see them join with us in the kingdom of God and for all eternity. Stand with us as we praise and as we worship you. God, this is my prayer for this church. God, for the people that are standing here today. God, my prayer is that we never lose sight of that. We never lose hope that you are in control and you are in our lives. And God, so today, this morning, I pray that the relationships over the last 5.5 years, the good times and the bad times, all of those things would point to your glory, point to your name. And God, that you would be glorified by what has been done here and by what's done in the future. And that God, we don't worship just the things that we've accomplished, helped us to do, but God, we worship you because of the relationship you've given to us. We worship you because our names are registered in the book of life. Our names are written down in heaven. We worship you because even though we didn't deserve it, all things that I could do in my lifetime, God, it still wouldn't be enough to get me into heaven. The only thing good enough to get me into heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed because he lived a perfect and sinless life, and he was your son, and he died on the cross to pay the price for my sin. God, help me to put my full faith and my full trust in that, and that would be the message that I take into the world. We love you, God. Bless this church on the rock. Bless the leadership. Bless Rashad. Bless Jason. Bless Clinton. Bless Josh. God, bless Lucy over women's ministry. Bless Sarah as she does creative ministry. Bless those who are serving in kids ministry and those who are middle school ministry and high school ministry. God, bless those who are sharing their homes with people and opening up their homes for Thrive communities 5 days of the week, God. There are so many people who are loving you with all of their heart. God, I pray that you would continue to put your hand on this church, that it would grow numerically, and that it would grow deeply, God, rooted in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. We hope you and your family have been just as much blessed by this as we have here at Church on the Rock in Brownsburg, Indiana. For more information on our church family, please visit www.churchontherockbb.com.